Oh, never mind. I have nothing to say. I have nothing valuable to say.
I don't.
Welcome to Worlds Away, an actual play storytelling podcast. My name is Michael Morales, and I'll be your GM today. Joining me today are Haley Daria.
Hello.
Jonathan Ossip.
Howdy, howdy.
Lauren Wilbanks.
Prop 69.
Nice.
And Mohammed Shtara.
I think.
Known in the state of California to cause nice.
I'm just thinking about how one day I'm going to have to explain to my mom.
Don't do that.
Love you, Mom.
And Mohammed Shtara.
Do mages dream of arcane sheep?
It do be like that.
Do it.
It do.
And today you're joining us for another session of
Beefy Shotgun Wizards.
Wizards, wizards, wizards.
Pew, 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 pew.
I don't know how I'm supposed to deal with like me putting the effects on the actual time we say it with all of you also adding in the effects manually here.
Why would you?
I think you just you make it a clumsy mess. I want it to be chaotic.
In a robot?
Okay.
Are you kidding me? Why are you replacing my human labor with AI?
Yeah. My bad.
While you get the echo for me, you just have them AI talk slop. And then they get echoes. It's going to be great.
We really just fixated on the word slop and I'm kind of here for it.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
But this episode comes out on a Wednesday.
Well, you know, those are the words that that Frost has always wanted to hear, but he's more of a Thursday headliner.
Aww. Aww.
Bro, why would you do me like that?
Saw the opportunity, I'm sorry.
Look, I brought everything to this campaign, Mike.
You really did.
I know. I'm sorry, that was mean.
Thank you. Apology considered.
Okay. Better than I was expecting. So, where we left y'all was in the mycological archives of Greenhouse.
Is that where we left?
And yes.
Exactly.
We were all tripping.
We got a suspicious message.
Yeah. We're planter engineers, fungi that help magicians get in touch with the infinite lexicon. It's sort of an aid, if you will, to be able to see into the other realms and get themselves used to it. And as Belladonna and Ebramir know and told all of y'all, some of the side effects of these spores are that while you can see into the infinite lexicon, these spores are known to sometimes whisper half-truths. And so the magic of the infinite lexicon, the magic that Ebramir specializes in, allows you to see multiple alternate realities, but they're all true. These might be true. And as you were wandering through and breathing in the spores, you started to hallucinate, and the spores started to fill your vision, and you started to share each other's vision. So you each see 5 messages, but you're not really sure who they're for. I'll remind you again that the messages that you saw in the spores said, "The spores only speak to those marked for death. If you let them live, you will serve them. You already do. One of them will call the forest to war, and the trees will obey. They want what grows after the children are gone. And she was never recruited. She's still in the lab."
Yeah, those are pretty eerie.
As you begin to make your way through the mycological archives, Belladonna, you recognize that you're getting to the end of this room in the archives and are about to enter the propagation lab. This is where you did some of your best work for Planter. Can you tell me what the propagation lab looks like or what kind of stuff you did there?
The propagation lab there's a lot of lights of different colors. Unclear why. Maybe they are aid in like the growing process or something. I don't know. There's a lot of like sections of different plants at different heights. And then there's like some spells that are keeping the conditions of different areas different from one another. So there's just a lot going on.
So before you get in there, give me a think roll. You're going to be rolling for loot at the end of the mycological archives.
Yes.
Yes.
Ooh.
Oh, shit.
Holy shit.
666, baby. Shit.
Oh, man.
You summon a dark god of loot.
No, we gave the loot away.
And we're just waiting for Haley now.
You rolled the devil's lettuce.
Oh. Ooh.
That's the first time I've rolled all successes as opposed to triple ones, which I've rolled several times using this software.
That's in the other campaign. It's different software.
Belladonna, I think you're overcome by memories and a little distracted, so you might look over stuff, but just not see anything useful. Ebermere, go ahead and give me 3 treasure rolls. Fraustus, give me a treasure roll and 2 loot rolls. And Rizzard, go ahead and give me 2 loot rolls.
Loot to boot.
I like to think of this as Ebermere actually sees better, like searches for loot better when he's got a little bit of that infinite lexicon in his eyes.
Oh, yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah, maybe the rest of us are not sure if what we're seeing is exactly right, but maybe Ebermere just knows how to tell the difference, and so he sees all the right things.
I think maybe he's not used to only seeing in one reality at a time, and he's been off his game the entire time he's been in the tower.
No, I think Faustus is definitely in like the admittedly very large but still finite lexicon, unfortunately, so he's going to have to just make do.
All right, John, go ahead and give me your treasure and loot rolls.
Okay, all right. Treasure. All right, let me do treasure first, then loot. I feel like I've rolled that 343 before, so we're going to find out.
Old friend.
Hello, loot, my old friend.
Okay. I definitely rolled it before now.
Okay.
What the fuck is going on? I rolled 343, 343 again, and then 434.
Just to mix it up.
John, go ahead and tell me what you got.
Fuck, these are good, bro. I have 2 wizard's hats that absorb all damage from a single hit.
Nice.
And then I have hollow point ammo.
John, let me ask, can a wizard wear hats like popped collars?
Like 2 on top of each other?
Stacked.
That's right.
Absolutely, if it allows me to stack my gear slots, for sure.
Can you describe that to me?
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, I think it's just like literally they stack, right? Yeah. I mean, they're all like the conical shape, right? That's what we're going for here.
Yeah.
But I think the rim, I mean, you can pop it, right? I mean, it's not like you don't have to pop it to wear like 2 on top of each other, but Faustus does, right? That's just in his persona. Like, this is a guy that's rocking a tank top under this, right? So just the brim is like popped up on the hat, like John, just like a collar.
John, go ahead and take 1 iron.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
Lauren, what'd you get?
I got a very unique item in that it is a wizard's hat. It absorbs all damage from a single hit. Oh, yeah. And interestingly enough, I already had 1 of those. So I might be wearing it 1 stacked on top of another. I don't know, maybe like some sort of popped collar situation, but with a hat.
What else did you get?
Good question. I only got to the first one. Exploding shells. Ammo.
Plus D plus three hits on a crit. Oh my god.
Wait, what is exploding shells?
435. So, Rizzard, I was so taken by your originality and how you want to wear your 2 wizard hats that I think you should also get iron. I've never heard anything that incredible before.
You guys see what's about to happen, right? He's about to fuck us up. Like, we're about to get so murked by whatever the final boss is.
Yeah, that's true. This is not good.
I got 3 iron.
I have no iron. I have nothing.
You have your friends.
I have 1 dungeon. I have 1 familiar, no wretches.
So question, Mike, because we are approaching like what I understand to be the end of this campaign, which is sad, obviously.
Whoa. Don't break kayfabe for the audience.
Will I have a chance to rest at any point?
Maybe.
Okay. So I have a bong that needs bonging. That's what you do with it, right?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
That's the verb. All right. Ebermere, what did you get?
I got our old friend a star metal spiked gauntlet.
Nice. Oh. Welcome back, bud.
And then I got a bar of gold.
Good.
And then I got my favorite item that I got, a skateboard with gnarly punk art.
Sweet. Describe it. Is it like a screaming hot dog or?
I think. Okay, so part of it was I saw Grim Slime Monster with tentacles in my soul is what I saw. You know how that form of punk art where it's like flesh drippy. But it's green but it's drippy,
yeah
it's like that, but it's also like a tentacle monster, like the one from
like Kevin. Oh
it's tentacle. Like Kevin. It's a little too reminiscent of Kevin, actually, now that you mention it. Fuck Kevin. But I am writing it.
We hate Kevin.
Go ahead and take an iron for taking my suggestion on the art.
Wow,
how many iron do you have again?
Sucking up to
with
GM.
That one, it's 7.
Okay, so you are tank. Congratulations.
Yeah, I am. I'm also our fighter. Okay, I have a lot of stuff, and I have, in fact, too much stuff. I have two items too many. Who would like? Who needs
anything.
Stuff? Who needs stuff?
I do not. I'm full. I'm literally full up.
I don't have any slots left. If you have something really good, I could like get rid of some of my shit. But
I mean, no, I use all my stuff.
What's the stuff that you want to get rid of, and we'll decide if we want it.
My disturbingly large bag of teeth.
Mm.
My cold iron bastard sword.
What do you, is it just an item, or does it have a modifier or anything?
It's just an item.
Okay.
What does the cold bastard sword do?
It's a sword that I can use to fight.
Okay. That doesn't have any pluses or anything.
Correct. No. And then my bar of gold.
Damn. I mean, I hate to leave a bar of gold behind.
I mean, it's either that or I leave the punk skateboard, but that's not happening.
I don't want to give up the placebo because, like, Mike put a lot of effort into that.
All right. I am going to leave my disturbingly large bag of teeth behind and my bag of gold.
Damn.
The bar of gold, you mean?
The bar of gold, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it was pretty heavy. Gold's famously going to weigh you down.
All right.
So, Haley, what does the door to the propagation lab look like?
I think it says in big letters, like, propagation lab, only authorized persons may enter. But other than that, it just looks like a normal door.
Does it have all the vowels, just out of curiosity?
I mean, I think it would get confusing if we started dropping random vowels on other words.
Hmm.
Like, I just think that that could create confusion down the line.
Was that a fight that you had with Chad?
Yeah. And that was a hill that Belladonna would die on. Like, we cannot just take away vowels willy-nilly.
No respect for the infinite lexicon.
I appreciate the lore, and so go ahead and take an iron.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
we're so fucked.
We're so cooked. Absolutely fucked.
Hey, chat. Chat.
We're cooked.
Chat, we're cooked. Chat.
Chat, please help us.
Man, can you imagine if we had a chat?
Yeah, chat, if all of you, chat, if we get to 100 tier 3 subs right now, Mike is not going to TPK us, okay? So it has to be the next 60 seconds.
In the arms of an angel.
All right, that's the most you can sing legally. We have to stop right now.
Let's move on.
So I think you walk in and you're surprised to find, other than the way that Belladonna described the lab, it is completely empty. This could have been worked in today. The rest of the greenhouse has been overrun by plants. This is a pristine workspace. And you know that you need to make your way over to the root heart chamber to complete your hit. Belladonna, can you just describe for me how you're guiding the party through the propagation lab on the way to the root heart chamber?
I think the door opens and we see that the propagation lab is seemingly like untouched, but Belladonna just turns around to the crew and says, just because you don't see any fungi doesn't mean that this room is safe. The propagation lab is where some of our most dangerous experiments are housed. Do not touch any of the plants. Do not touch anything that looks vaguely enticing. And then she like stares at Rizzard and Faustus particularly.
Oh, Rizzard was absolutely reaching for something. So that was a well-timed stare.
And then she's just like, keep your hands and feet within the walkways. And then I think she strides forward.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Yeah. So tell me, what does the path on the way to the root heart chamber look like?
And remember that it has to be skateboard friendly.
ADA compliant.
Evermere is working really hard to skateboard, but also not go beyond the group because he doesn't actually know where he's going.
So I think the path, like I said, there's a lot of lights and then there's a lot of like different habitat situations that we pass. I think because you said it looks like it was just worked in, I think there's maybe like a cart in the middle of one passage. So then we have to like turn and take another passage between two sets of like planters. And so I think there's just like a lot of like some obstacles, but, you know, so there's a few turns that we have to make as we make our way across the propagation lab.
And tell me, when you get to the end of the propagation lab, what does it look like transitioning from the propagation lab to the root heart chamber?
I think the propagation lab looked pretty scientific, whereas the root heart chamber, I don't know, just the name alone gives me, it's like the fantasy sci-fi dichotomy.
How does somebody enter the root heart chamber from the propagation lab?
What an excellent question.
So, I mean, it feels like kind of on one end of the propagation chamber, it just looks like there's some sort of very large tree that's like 10 feet above us. So what you see is like a lot of roots. And then if you look really closely, you can see like a door that is within the roots.
And I think with the door in sight, Belladonna, the thing that surprises you more than the fact that you've been able to make it this whole way without anything seeming out of place is that as you approach the door, it opens from the other side.
I think Belladonna turns to the group and says, usually the security measures on the door mean it can only be opened if you have your key fob / magical artifact, but I don't know what's in there. I don't know what this could be.
You're about to find out. Because as the door opens, out comes the assailant who attacked you in the nutrient flow corridor. Still with their face covered. And they reach at their side into a pouch. And Belladonna, give me a think roll.
Okay, I can think. I think 363.
In a move and with movement that feels like you could be staring at your own reflection in the mirror, you see their hands start to scatter the spores and form the nonverbal signs for incantations to activate magical plants.
Oh,
in
no.
front of them, those spores hit the ground and immediately form humanoid shapes that are unmistakably fungal in nature. There's about five of them. And the figure says, "Defend the chamber at all costs." And runs back inside and closes the door behind them. Belladonna, what do you do?
I pull out my energy glove and go to the closest one and just try to punch the shit out of it.
Go ahead and give me a fight roll.
Classy.
I get plus 2D for my energy glove. So that I will be rolling 6Ds. And if it hits, it does plus 2 damage, or 2 damage.
Sweet.
That would be a 6, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Whoa.
Belladonna, do you know a lot about these creations by any chance? Do you recognize them?
I mean, they came from this lab, so I knew something about them.
You might even say you know its weakness?
Oh, yeah. Its weakness is my energy glove.
Take one iron.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Belladonna, in addition to these creatures being weak to your energy glove, you know their weaknesses, and you take two of these fuckers out, and yes. they explode into spores.
Oh, I don't like the spores exploding, but I like that the creatures exploded. That's good.
Frostus, there are three of these guys left.
Okay. So I think if there's three left, Frostus is going to advance up and kind of move to the side. So if Belladonna is engaged from the front, he's going to kind of get an angle on them. And I think once he's in position, maybe it's like we see Belladonna engaging with her sort of glowing, was it the power energy gloves, kind of fighting from the front. But I think the camera kind of, the focus shifts to Faustus on the side. And he says, "Looks like it's time for a little kindling." And he pulls out his napalm gun and tries to set these things on fire.
Yeah, go ahead and give me a shoot roll.
All right. 166, baby. That's a double crit.
Double crit.
And it damages all of them. Hits all.
They all die.
Does it do that? Does that with the napalm?
Yeah, that's what the napalm gun does.
Oh, really?
It says it kills all mushroom people that are near.
Turns out their other weakness was napalm.
What is the ammo called? I'm sorry.
don't think it's the ammo. It's a separate gun. It's called napalm gun.
I'm only seeing napalm canister in the, unless I'm spelling it wrong.
Uh-oh.
Did I just cheat and add an item?
I too would like to invent an item.
Wait, what the fuck? No, I can't find
there.
It either.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's misspelled. It's napalm.
I'm sorry
to tell you that. Well, napalm is very cool and different. Right. Warcraft. You have a napalm gun, which does hit
with
all
much napalm. He really killed those four things.
Peter, yeah,
their weakness number one was energy glove. Weakness number two is actually the rare chemical napalm.
I did this fight with much napalm, actually.
That
was a terrible pun. I'm sorry.
I just made that one 15 seconds before you did. I also want to say that napalm is just napalm with some plutonium.
Whoa.
So
radioactive napalm.
Yeah. Just like Uncle Sam.
The napalm that kills mushroom people instantly.
Yeah. That's what I've heard about it.
I'm going to make a GM ruling on this one and say that you have the opportunity to hit all of them, but that it's sort of like splash damage, which is to say that you don't hit. You got two crits over here. It's not that every one of them got hit for two crits. I'm going to say you got four damage over here, and you can tell me how you want to split that up amongst the three of them.
Bro.
I will tell you, you definitely have enough to kill one of them.
Just do two and two, John.
Yeah, I'll do two and two on two of them.
Then the two that you hit are flailing at this point. This is not pleasant for them, but they're still alive, but just barely. Rizzard. What are you up to?
I think Rizzard sees Frausis pull out his napalm. And Rizzard is like, oh, we're using the weird ammo. Got it. Yeah, that seems super useful. And so I think he is going to utilize the exploding shells. And... yeah, I want to use my sawed-off shotgun, okay. But I want to move. It says shoot plus 1D near, so I just want to move kind of within range to be able to get that benefit.
Okay, yeah, go for it. I think that'll get you within, like, let's call it 5 feet away.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and give me a shoot roll.
So I'll add one more D6. Come on, crit. I want to roll 3Ds. Come on, crit. Oh, nothing. Wow, that was really shitty, actually.
A 1, 2, and a 4. Does the 4 hit?
A 2, a 2, and a 4.
So I'll let you know now, one of those hit. You can pick which one of the dudes you hit.
Whoever's closest to me.
Well, you're kind of like, they're kind of bunched up over here. So like, you can pick one of the ones that's hit by the napalm, or you can pick the other one that's just kind of been standing there.
I'm going to put the napalm one out of its misery. It has to be suffering.
Okay, so... one, you manage to, you get up there and you blow off whatever the head looking area is of this like fungal semi-humanoid shaped thing.
Yeah, this is definitely my intent.
Two, because you rolled more ones than sixes, you no longer have your ammo.
No.
And three, give me a save roll.
I don't like any of this. Okay, goodbye exploding shells. You were cool for 30 seconds. A think roll?
Save roll.
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure I heard save.
Yeah, you did hear save. You're right.
I mean, fuck, I ain't saving or thinking this evening, apparently. All right. Okay, a 2 and a 5 has got to be good.
I'll get back to you.
Ebramir.
Join
the club.
I think I am... going to skate by these spores and take my metal hook on a chain and swing it around like poi, bashing as many of them as I can.
Nice.
Okay, yeah, go ahead and give me a fight roll. God, you have so many dice.
I can re-roll misses. Hold on.
Okay, then you can re-roll. Let's see here.
I just re-rolled the twos and threes.
That's fine.
Three fives and a six.
Ebramir, you hit the spore guy that's still flailing from the napalm and the other guy who has totally been left alone up until now. I think your hook on a chain gets them, like, you hit them so hard that they just explode into like a fine mist over here. Go ahead and give me a save roll.
Seems like everyone who's killed something.
1, 3, 4.
I think it's we're in proximity of these spores.
The spores.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not good.
For what it's worth, I do want to name that I wasn't in melee range. I was in shooting range, because that's what the metal hook on a chain lets me do. I don't know if that changes anything.
I don't think so for these purposes. I think the spores kind of have a will of their own. Fraustus, you see that all five of, I'm just going to call them the Mushmen from now on.
Perfect.
Their main bodies have gone down, but you can see that they've like started to congeal and form slight miniatures of themselves. They're about one third in height of their original stature, but the five of them, actually, I'm sorry, the three non-napalmed ones are back up. The two napalmed ones are just, are not regenerating in any way, shape, or form. Belladonna, Rizzard, and Ebermere
are totally fine.
You would react to the reformation of these Mushmen into their smaller, or into their miniature forms in front of you, except that you're really confused by the sudden appearance in front of the door of a couch. And sitting on top of it, sprawled out with his head turned back, is Riff Gallows, sporting the same stained white t-shirt over his jet black armor, leaned back, and he sits up at attention and says, "You being here is just proof of your betrayal. Fraustus, your party members are kind of just standing there. You saw Belladonna just say, 'Are you?' and you're not sure who she's talking to. But I think you can deduce that it has something to do with the spores. Right now, there are three miniature Mushmen in front of you. What do you do?"
I do want to know. I mean, I know you say that I could deduce that, but I did lose a think earlier. And so I think that when Belladonna says, "Are you?" Fraustus says, "No." But then he does try to napalm these other fuckers, because that seems to be working to stop them from regenerating.
Yeah, go ahead and give me a shoot roll.
Nay plum.
I just want to know, again, your ruling was unfair, but I forgive you, Mike.
Beefy Shotgun Wizards, brought to you by Napalm. Mm.
All right, that's a 1, 4, and a 6.
Okay, you did get the same number of 1s and 6s, so you don't lose your ammo. But I will say that you are able to like take out one of the Mushmen. The other two come running at you.
Okay.
Mush.
I mean, I did damage to all of them, right? Or, I mean, it does say damage is all that are near.
I'm sorry, you're right. I didn't apply that consistently. John, you take out two of the Mushmen, but one of them rushes at you.
Okay, all right. Fair enough.
I have a question.
I think just like narratively, right? I mean, he's just like spraying the napalm in front of him, trying to fend these things off, whatever direction they're running at him from.
Yeah. What's up, Mo?
Does anyone, this is not an important question. Does anyone remember the ad that I used to repeat all the time that we made up at the very beginning of the podcast?
Manly bands. Nope. Manly bands for your manly hands.
Manly bands.
Holy shit.
Thank you.
What do you mean made up? We were not, are you telling me we're not getting paid for that shit?
I fucking edited that shit.
I thought you were chair of promotions.
The promo Momo, yeah.
The Mushman comes right up. And hits you.
I wouldn't. Just to be clear, I wouldn't.
And hits you right in Merlin's crystal balls, and you take 3 damage.
What? What is my actual crystal ball okay?
I don't know. You tell me. What's taking the three damage?
So how much damage? 3 damage.
Yeah,
3 damage. That's a lot of damage, bro. I think what has to happen. I hate to do this, Mike. I mean, if he's going for the, you know, the family jewels, as it were, I think that Fraustus drops down and like puts his head out to protect himself, because that's the less valuable part. And it does hit the hat and just rips it like tops of autumn right down. And it, a very sad tear sheds off, leaving only one popped collar of hat underneath.
Aww.
I hate to do that to you, man. I know that must hurt, but he does do that.
That's rough. And I think
that absorbs all the damage, luckily.
Don't give him an iron. No. Don't do it.
I just want to let you know that a single popped brim looks way more ridiculous than two, that you just look like an idiot standing there. But
Fraustus does not recognize that. He does not agree with you whatsoever.
I want to go back. I want to go back to Belladonna, Rizzard, and Ebramir for a second. And Riff Gallus has just told you that you being here is a sign of your betrayal. Do you have any reaction to that?
I think Belladonna kind of slowly looks around as though she's trying to figure out if Riff Gallus is talking to her, or maybe he's talking to like Rizzard or Ebramir or Faustus. And she's just like, betrayal?
Yeah, you're still alive. You betrayed me.
What if you betrayed me?
What if I betrayed you? I gave you every opportunity to save the world and you threw that back in my face.
I did?
You all did. The Scarlet Spiral.
I don't remember doing that. Riz? Ebram?
Maybe you're thinking of a different Scarlet Spiral.
I assume that Faust is only hearing their half of the conversation while this is right. happening also. Okay, perfect.
That's right. What did I tell you when I gave you my piece of the blueprint?
Don't fight the puddle, but we fought the puddle. It really won. It won so hard.
We fought the puddle and the
I lost a finger.
Won.
The door got it. And then we went through the door later. I didn't get better though.
It wasn't good.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Now we're here.
No, you know what? I think I'm just going to enjoy my front row seats to this. And the couch moves temporarily out of your field of vision. I think as you look around, you can see that it's now floating a foot and a half off the ground behind you all. And that Riff Gallows now has a carton of popcorn watching Faustus fight off the last mushman. Faustus, we'll cut back to you.
Napalm it, I guess.
I'm so torn because it seems like the napalm is the thing that prevents it from regenerating. Yeah, okay, I'll just be lame and do the napalm again. I hate to be a predictable person, but...
Go ahead and give me a shoot roll.
Oh, that's another fucking crit, baby. That's a 4-6-3.
Yeah, this time around, yes. Like, I think it hit your hat, and then you stood upright, aimed straight down, and you slime time lived it with the napalm. Oof. Except that when the napalm was, like, gone from the barrel, there's just a puddle on the floor.
Nice.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
No.
Go ahead and give yourself an iron.
No. Nice.
Yeah, I assume that was me, not Mo, for that terrible.
That's right. Definitely not Mo.
You kind of wasted them.
Mo, take one iron.
All on your own. So. Yeah,
Mo has no! Like fucking 8 iron.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant take away.
All right. I'm down to 6 iron.
I'm just kidding. I can't do that to you. You have to keep your iron.
Oh, no.
Don't worry, he's going to take it away from him in another way.
Guys, we're so bone.
I looked up napalm quotes so that we'll be ready to go just in case.
And how are there more napalm quotes? There's one.
Words are as strong and powerful as bombs, as napalm, Dorothy Day.
No, that's terrible. Don't attribute that to Dorothy Day. She did not say that.
I would have been dead if it weren't for the great gift to civilization from the chemistry department of Harvard, which was napalm or sticky jellied gasoline. Kurt Vonnegut.
What is... no. Stop it.
So, Belladonna, Rizzard, and Ebramir, you just hear, oh, that was sick, from Riff Gallows on the floating couch behind you.
Yeah, see, man, we didn't betray you. We're doing cool stuff.
What do you mean, we...
Yeah, over there.
And I think you point at an empty space, or what looks like an empty space to Faustus.
Listen, Faustus, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm pretty sure I'm having a spore hallucination right now. So either start huffing just kind of go with it.
Yes, I mean, I would ordinarily partake, but I do believe we only have a limited amount of time to escape this sort of alternate realm, and therefore escape the tower before its impending collapse.
I've seen your glassware. I know what you got under those
yes.
robes.
At that, and because you're the only lucid one here right now, go ahead and give me a tower roll.
What the fuck?
D20.
All right, I critted.
That's a good, right?
I critted, baby.
You get to add a room to the tower. Congratulations.
I don't want to add more rooms to the
tower. You've just extended this series by one more episode, baby. Let's go. No.
God, we're going to napalm you in your sleep.
And we got renewed for another season.
This calls for another napalm quote.
I'm giving myself one.
This is all going to get edited out, though.
I'm giving myself one.
No episode left. Cheetah with a heart full of napalm, Iggy Pop.
What?
Oh, my God.
Are all of these AI hallucinations?
Yeah. Did you ask ChatGPT?
No, I asked the internet, but that doesn't make them real.
Yeah. That's true.
And, you know, for those of you that can perceive him, you just hear if Gal says, man, I'm really going to miss you guys when you're dead. Nah, maybe not.
Wait, now you're not going to miss us or now we're not going to die? Because I'm pretty sure it's the now we're not going to die.
We'll see. Maybe I'll get lucky. Maybe it'll be excruciating for you.
Yeah, this is like getting real rough, man. Belladonna, can we get a move on? I don't like this guy.
Belladonna, is there some kind of antidote for you? You're all saying very strange things, making me quite uncomfortable, including about what's under my robes, which frankly was inappropriate for the workplace.
I think Belladonna says HR is two offices over.
And do they have an antidote for your wars there?
Yeah, I guess. Mike, is there a way I can try to find an antidote? What does the placebo do?
Oh, fuck. Okay,
placebo.
I only have one more use of it. I only have one more use of it. Can I give it to everybody, though? Is that possible?
You can give it to one person.
Oh, no. Ooh. All right, I will give it to Belladonna because... She
you're
might be able
in real
to help
life?
Everybody else.
Because that's, you're dating her in real life.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, that's why. You guys got me. Fuck. All right.
Evermere, is this the infinite lexicon? Evermere, is this the infinite lexicon?
I think Faustus just ignores this as painful. He's really tempted to give the placebo instead to Wizard.
Is this the infinite lexicon? This
Wizard, it's literally all the infinite lexicon. That's the nature of the infinite lexicon. It is infinite.
Belladonna, here, I got this. This should help.
Yes.
Here, take this.
Yes.
And hands her the placebo.
Yes.
Belladonna,
yes.
Go ahead and give me.
That. Yes.
That.
Yes.
But this has got to be a rune, right? What's the difference between a rune and an infinite lexicon?
A rune is a singular.
My God.
Belladonna, go ahead and give me
a
think roll.
Singular, typically drawn, but can also be conjured representation of a single concept or a letter.
This is you're adding at your runes actively.
But
I think, unfortunately, with a six, you recognize.
No. Rizard,
I think with a six, unfortunately.
Rizard, it's very rude. Stop that.
What if I blow on them?
No, I'm sorry. This would be the opposite. Excuse me. Belladonna, with a one. Excuse me. With a one.
Gallows, take me with you. Take me. I'm sorry for what I did, Gallows.
Shut up. Me. God damn it. I hate you. You broke me. Happy? You did it. It took six episodes.
We're doing the off-camera dialogue, which everyone knows is much funnier than on-camera dialogue.
All right. It's time for the worst napalm.
You all took 11 damage just now.
That's no, fair. We didn't. No, you're lying.
A meteor fell from the sky.
I wasn't even part of that.
I used the second hat.
I wasn't part of that.
It's a napalm quote.
I have a lucky rest.
Jessica Simpson. This is a quote about Jessica Simpson.
Napalm?
Yeah, that girl is like crack cocaine to me. Sexually, it was crazy. That's all I'll say. It was like napalm. Sexual napalm. John Mayer.
John Mayer fucked Jessica Simpson or Jessica Alba? What Jessica?
It says Simpson. On Jessica Simpson, like, is this a credible source? No, it's not, but these could be real quotes.
Belladonna, I'm reclaiming my time. Belladonna, with a one.
Oh.
Frausis hands you something. You understand his intention is to help you. You don't really understand what it is, but it works. And you no longer see Riff Gallows on the floating couch behind you. And your vision starts to clear up.
Okay.
And you do get plus one to a, or plus one D.
To
I think normally the intention for the Right. For that item, was that like if you took it in response to a roll, you would get the plus 1d if you failed the think roll, as Belladonna did here. I think in this case, it just has the effect of like clearing out the spores from her system.
All right, fair enough.
Okay, so I think I'm back at my full mental capacity. Like, this is my shit, right? Like, shouldn't I be able to find a way to, like, maybe there's something in this room that I can use? Like, do I describe it? And then...
Everyone give me a think roll.
Do I have to?
Okay.
Yes, you do.
Oh, yeah. Here I go thinking again.
And please keep it on your screens and don't clear it out.
Okay, all right. So that's a mixed amount of thoughts. Some good, hey, some really bad.
Belladonna, go ahead and give me another think roll because you know this space.
Okay.
Ooh. Advantage.
165.
All right. Lauren.
Yep.
Treasure roll, loot roll.
Oh, yeah.
Mo, loot roll. John, two loot rolls. Haley, nice. Treasure roll, loot roll.
Okay. God, I don't like what's headed for us or what we're headed towards. Ooh, I'm so concerned for my well-being.
So I got 3, 2, 1, Mystic Ball of the Future, D10 plus 10, consumable, use this instead of a tower pole.
Nice.
Ooh.
And I got 4, 3, 5 exploding shells, the ones that Rizzard had.
John.
So I think two things. One is Praustis does find a case of energy drinks, which are consumable and recover one shoot automatically when resting. So he hands those over to Lil Faustus to take care of. He then does also see what's described in the rules as a high quality walking stick in the corner. But Faustus just goes and kind of scoffs at it because he has a shotgun staff. So why would he ever take that and lose that bond?
All right. Lauren, what did you get?
So I got cold iron shells.
Okay.
And then I also got a wizard's bong.
Nice.
Two bongs.
Dose bongs. I will be leaving that behind, though, as I want to have the cold iron shells don't offer any rule based advantage, but
what does the bong do?
It is recover one stat when resting.
Lauren, if you blaze up right now, I will let you convince yourself that your injury is in your head and recover an inventory slot.
What? But, can Faustus also blaze?
But I will tell you right now that however real or not real you perceive Riff Gallows to be, you will totally be convinced that he is 100% there and real.
I mean, I was already convinced that he was 100% there and real. Okay. Mechanically, how does this work? If I absolutely roast this bone,
yeah,
I get my gear slot back.
That's right. I will let you take off the injury tag on that gear slot, and you can take the other item that you picked up just now.
I assume I'll consume the bong, and I had one spot. Listen, I lost my ammo, so I had one spot.
Right, but I have stuff to give you. I could give you my ammo.
Oh, excellent.
We'll figure it out. I'm saying like you're not holding it permanently, so it never entered your inventory in the first place. Just take the free injury heal.
Amazing. Okay. Welcome back, Gear Slot.
Evermere, what did you get?
I got acid shells.
We got so many shells. Great. Excellent. Good for us.
All right. Does anyone have too much stuff?
Yes. Mostly because I don't have a gear slot. I have one injury slot.
I have like regular ammo, and I would take, if somebody's trying to get rid of exploding shells.
Take the exploding shells.
Does anyone want acid shells?
I have an open gear slot, so I'll take something if no one else wants it, and it's going to be discarded otherwise.
I can't use it. I don't even have a shotgun, so take the acid shells.
Okay, acid shells.
Sweet. So Riff starts chirping at Ebramir and Rizzard and just says, everyone knows your fate. I know it. The Shadow Speaker knew it. Aleth Tell knew it. Rusk Garen knew it. Your mother knew your fate. It was simple. You come to the tower, you destroy the Aegis, and then you die. And you're still alive, which means that you have betrayed me.
I don't think all those people sent us here to die. I don't think my mom sent me here to die.
You volunteered for it. You made a pact with the gods. They told you your fate. You came anyway because you wanted to save the world, all hero, all noble. And then you decided not to embrace your fate, and you're still alive because you're cowards and didn't do the thing that we agreed to.
Why does it matter to you if we die or not? Frankly, the outcomes of fate change on a dime. There are an infinite number of possibilities.
Infinite.
And you've actually been able to perceive them before, especially if you're in this space where you have the opportunity.
Oh, God, this might be even worse when I can't hear who he's talking to.
Yeah, wait, let him go. Let him go.
Right, especially when you can perceive infinite realities and you're intaking from the spores here. I mean, I don't understand why it matters whether or not we die in this reality when we've accomplished what we set out to do and we've managed to defeat the Shadow Speaker.
Yeah, what about ego death? I feel like my brain is sense of self is been expounded. How about that, Riff? How about, you got anything?
I am your shared hallucination and clearly your guilty conscience because you know that you didn't do the thing you set out to do, which is why I'm here to remind you that you failed. But no, it's okay. Go ahead. March on to the next room. Go ahead and conquer Belladonna's fate or whatever. Then you can go on and continue not being dead.
Yeah, I mean, Ebby, what? Living?
No.
Like, I'm two thumbs up for that plan.
Yeah, I fail to see the harm.
Yeah. So anyway, you two, so Riff Gallows is here. He's over there. He's on a couch. He's upset at us because we're not dead.
I mean, join the club, honestly.
There are gods literally like begging for our death, have like showed up multiple times to cheer on our doom. Like, I know you're trying to make a point here.
He's already confessed to being a shared hallucination and likely the manifestation of guilt that we feel for potentially having lived.
And in the background,
died.
You hear him shout, "That doesn't mean what I'm saying is not true, Ebermere."
Understood, Riff. I think what the psychic manifestation of our collective guilt is trying to say is we likely feel some form of trauma around the fact that we lived and others died in the effort to stop the Shadow Speaker. I think that we will likely need to revisit this in the future should we survive and manage to rewrite fate.
No. I did therapy once. It sucked. Not doing therapy again. Not happening. No. Just gonna, I don't know, drink about it or something, I guess. Let's go.
Whatever helps you sleep at night, Ebermere, and he reaches into the carton of popcorn and just pops a few kernels in his mouth. Belladonna, you know now at the end of the lab, there's nothing right now between you and the Root Heart Chamber except for that door.
Mm-hmm.
And although you don't have a fob, there is a way for you to get in. It's a way that you've used plenty of times before when you've forgotten your keys around the lab.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, how does Belladonna get around the security system?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Belladonna was here before the security system was installed. So it's not that the security system is bad. It's just that she was here before like this Root Heart Chamber had even grown. So I think she has a secret passage that no one knows about, not even Chad, because Chad never comes down here. And basically, off to the side, there's a root that if you pull it, it like cracks open a little bit and you can kind of squeeze through and then you can get into the Root Heart Chamber that way.
Okay. I think you're all able to navigate that alternate passageway. No problem. Ebermere and Rizzard, you can still hear Riff Gallows behind you popping some corn. The thought finally comes to mind. How is he eating popcorn with a helmet on? You could turn around to look.
Oh, fuck.
But, you know, he'd start chirping again.
Yeah, I don't want to turn into a pillar of salt. I'm going to keep walking.
Belladonna, you managed to get everyone through your secret entryway over here, and you come into an underground chamber adorned with roots on the floor, roots on the wall, roots on the ceiling, but they're all different colors. And so even though it's stemming from the same place, it almost has the feel of different materials in this chamber. What purpose does the Root Heart serve for Planter and the greenhouse laboratory?
So I think as much as we like to kind of gussy it up and say that there is a lot of science happening here, I think fundamentally this is magic. And the Root Heart Chamber is where the magical core that drives all of the spooky shit that's happening, which usually the spooky shit allows us to make innovations. It's just right now the spooky shit is kind of like taking over our brains. But all of the spooky shit comes from the root heart. It's like a magical upwelling that we identified, and that's the reason we made our lab here. And so it's really the core of everything that Planter has done.
What does it look like?
So I think around the walls, like, it's like you're inside a tree. So there's lots of root-seeming, tentacle-looking things on the walls. And then, like, the chamber itself is just kind of cleared out a little bit. It's actually not very big. I'm kind of actually imagining, like, the light roots from Tears of the Kingdom.
Okay.
Kind of like a root-looking structure that's kind of glowing.
Belladonna, how big is that central, like, root heart? You mentioned the room itself isn't very big, but, like, this is the epicenter of Planter and powering all of the research that gets done here.
Mm-hmm.
How massive is this thing?
I think, like, the room itself is not very big because it's basically, like, a circle around the root heart. So It's, like, the actual open area is not very big, but the root heart itself is, like, a few feet in diameter, and it takes up the majority of the room.
Belladonna, give me a think roll.
Okay. 624.
Belladonna, you look through this room that you've seen many times before, and even though this is you going through your fate, the thing that strikes you as particularly odd is how much it resembles the root heart chamber from your memory. There's nothing off about it. And as your gaze travels up to the root heart itself, you see two figures. You see two figures huddled together, asleep, nestled in a little crevice in the root heart.
Aww.
And Belladonna, at the top of the Ninefold Accord, when you lost Kale and Cabbage, your vision went black, and you heard a scream, and it was your own voice. Your memory is coming back to you now. Kale and Cabbage are currently sitting in the root heart, and as you replay the memory in your head, walking towards a group of people who mean to do them harm, is a veiled figure wielding a long blade, covering their face, and screams, "You can't have them," and it's in your voice.
Oh, shit.
It's the same person who defended this chamber on the outside with the Mushmen, and with the same magic that you've seen and you've practiced yourself 1,000 times, they reach into their pouch and they summon 6 more Mushmen.
Fuck, it's me! I say that out loud. I don't know if anyone understands, but that's what I say.
Riff Gallows kind of just chuckles, like, ha, called it.
Hey there, it's Lauren. Thank you so much for listening to the show. If you're enjoying Worlds Away so far and you know someone who has similar refined and sophisticated tastes, please go ahead and recommend us. If you have no friends, you can also help the show by rating and reviewing us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other platform you use to listen to podcasts. Additionally, give us a shout out on whatever social media platform you swear you're going to quit this year. If you want to say hi, you can also find us on most platforms at Worlds Away Pod or online at worldsawaypod.com. Thanks again for listening. And now back to your episode.
So I have a question for the group. What do we think happens if we kill our Belladonna?
Oh, my God. Let's do it. You won't.
Rude.
Are you just guys? Just, we can't merge just, the campaigns. Okay,
I'm just throwing ideas around.
This is Belladonna, not Leela.
Wait, are we killing? Oh yeah, we did do that, didn't we?
Spoilers.
Was this the time I was sick? You guys recorded without me.
How do you think you got sick, Haley? We had a man on the inside. What were we saying? Okay, what? Like, wait, explain yourself. What do you mean? Mo, I'm talking to you. It was your suggestion.
Oh, I was making a joke.
Oh, okay.
Well, Very funny.
Mike, hang is on, the Belladonna face. Hooded figure, like the Fabelladonna, is she still visible here, or was that only in my brain?
Can I see her?
You can all see her. And I think in your brain, Belladonna, the thing that strikes you is you remember almost like watching this scene unfold.
Hmm. It's like a deja vu.
Like a third person perspective almost.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, then I think we have to vanquish Fabelladonna.
Belladonna the Brazen, what do you do?
I mean, I go after Fabelladonna with my energy glove.
Go ahead and give me an attack roll.
Plus an extra 2D. So that's a 6, 5, 5, 4, 4, 2.
Belladonna, the energy glove is new to you, but the movements are practiced. You have always been a hand-to-hand specialist on mm-hmm. top of being a very talented wizard. But just like what happened with Fraustus and Edmir, when they encountered Kevin and Fraustus, the hits look clean, but they pass through the Belladonna in front of you.
Yeah, damn it.
Fraustus, you're up.
I think it's time for some exploding shells.
I think so.
Okay.
It's always time for some exploding shells.
You're going to swap out the napalm?
I will sadly put the napalm away, and I will pull out my...
Oh, wait. Hold on. I'm really dumb. Don't listen to me. Hold on.
He's typing into the second laptop. Oh, God.
This is not good.
What is to become of us? What is our fate?
The second John, laptop.
The napalm gun is a gun, but there's nothing that says, from my reading of the rules, that you can't use the exploding ammo with the napalm, but you would be limited to the napalm gun's reach.
What the fuck? What?
The reason I was thinking of switching, I'll just say this. Like, I do like the idea. However, it is the case that, let me ask you this, Mike. Is there a reason to think that this fungal Belladonna is subject to the same regenerative concerns as the mushmen that we just fought?
Yeah, I think that you could have, like, a lot of the same concerns.
Okay. All right. Then maybe I will use the name.
They look identical. But again, I'm saying I think it would be hella cool if you combined the exploding shells with the.
It's just my quad shotgun does give me plus 1D. So I always like to go to that, but yeah. And does do damage. But yeah, we can do the exploding shells with the napalm.
I mean, the shells are mostly aesthetic, aren't they? You might as well use the exploding.
No, they do plus. They do more
certain
damage.
Certain ones actually do have things, but a lot of them are.
For every crit that John rolls, he'll get to roll three more die, or he'll roll D3 for that many more hits.
All right.
Well,
I'm going to do it.
I would like...
Oh, I did not. I did not crit.
Mm. Iron.
In fact, you know what? I'm going to use iron on the one. I'm going to use iron on the one. So I don't want to lose my exploding shells.
That makes sense.
That's really smart. God.
Oh my God, bro. Are you fucking
kidding me? That's the exact same roll. That's the exact same roll as you rolled before.
Do you still have iron?
I do. I'm going to use another iron. This is terrible. There we go. All right.
Okay. Did one of those hit?
Please, God, one of those have hit.
Two of those hit.
Oh, nice. Shit. Okay.
Do you get any damage bonuses for this?
No, I don't think so. Not unless it crits. And does it look like that? When you describe this, I'd love to know what effect the napalm is having, and if this is worth continuing.
Yeah, so it's like it's drenching them, and you can see them appearing like they're burning, they're flailing.
Okay,
but there's no heat coming off of them. And John, go ahead, give me a think roll.
All right, I'm thinking.
Yeah, John, I'll tell you that with a 4, you suspect that the napalm itself, and there wasn't anything special about the napalm so much as the fact that because they were drenched in something, the spores didn't have the opportunity to spread when the other mushmen died. And so I would just go ahead and say that that the mushmen you just hit over here, when it dies, it ain't spreading any spores.
Gotcha.
More like melt man.
Rizzard.
Yeah.
You're up.
I do want to shoot it. That much I know. I think I want to use an acid shell.
Okay.
Or a corrosive round. Now, GM, either of those going to make a rhetorical difference? Because they have no rule benefit.
Without rolling anything, I think I could tell you that that they'll probably do the same thing.
Okay. Okay, we got two sixes and two fours. Seems like some hits are there.
I think you could easily take down two of them with those rolls.
Yes. Okay. Me too. Cool. I think that as well.
Yeah, I think
we're in agreement. Good.
I think you could choose to like finish off the one that Frausus hit, or you could go ahead and just hit some fresh ones.
Do I get maybe a sense or a feeling that I could just clean off two of them, you know, with my own hits?
I accidentally tipped my hand on that one. So yeah, you, Lauren, know that.
So I think Rizzard, in his state of connectivity to the divine and the Ninefold Accords, knows that with the awesome power of his corrosive rounds and the destructive might of his shotgun, he's going to clean execute two of these things off the face of the earth.
Yeah, I think as you do that, Rifgala just chirps from behind you. If you were half as good at magic as you were at shot, you wouldn't need to betray me.
Again, man, I don't think trying to live is a betrayal, but like, I hear you. We can address this at a later date.
So has the actual villain, Belladonna the Shadowy, are they out of reach?
From you, I'd say no. You've still got four mushmen around you over here, but I think you could get around them and make your way to this other Belladonna.
Yeah, my goal is to try to grab the Belladonna with my hook and punch her in the face with my star-spiked gauntlet. Like a get over here and punch.
I think you could do that on separate turns, but I would tell you that you could hook and do some damage this round, but you would not be able to use two items for combat in this case.
No, I hear what you're saying. It's worth noting that the metal hook on a chain does pull something closer to me if I crit.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, there's a mechanical way for you to bring them closer. You just wouldn't be able to use the glove in the same turn that you do that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, if you want to go ahead and give me the fight roll on that.
Then add one for my cool sunglasses. Then let me re-roll the misses. Which one of these miss?
The 3 and the 2. Okay, so...
And I crit on a 5 or a 6.
Oh, do you really?
Mm-hmm.
God damn it, Peter.
It's not Peter's fault that Mo somehow always finds the stupid loadout, even though in this case it was all like loot rolls.
Random, yeah.
Yeah, but Mo always finds a way.
What do you want from me?
I like the strategy. It means we win.
Ebermere, narrate this for me.
I know we said I couldn't do this, but I'm going to narrate it. Like, this is not mechanical. This is narrative. I think after Belladonna, the cowardly, throws out her little spore people, her mushmen, you just see Ebermere skateboard right past them as though they're not there and just fling the hook. Belladonna, what are your clothes like?
So I kind of have I have like leggings and then I have kind of like a tunic situation on top.
So I think the hook grabs like the tunic. I just pull, but rather than them getting pulled back because I'm on a skateboard, it launches me forward, like on the skateboard, and I get way closer and then clock Belladonna in the face with my star-fisted gauntlet.
Okay, can we just be clear that it's Fabelladonna?
Yeah, Fabelladonna. Fabelladonna the Cowardly.
I think this all happens so quickly, Ramir, that you don't even realize that before the fist can make contact with Fabelladonna, she's already dead from the hit to the hook.
Damn.
Whoa. Talk about a glass cannon.
OHKO, baby.
But there are still 4 mushmen left.
Yeah, that's somebody else's problem.
It's all your problems. Not for long.
It's a lot of dice that Mike just rolled.
Mike, what are we doing here, buddy?
I'll remember all the iron we got, how we just got double loot.
So, Frastus, the one that's like kind of burning in the napalm comes over and it goes in for a hit, and you can tell that this is going to be a bad one. It catches you off guard. Like you've put the gun down a little bit and you're just surprised to see it move. Hmm. It's going to go ahead and like hit you for a crit.
Oh, what does that mean?
Frostus, you've got an option here. This mushman hits you and it's going to hit you hard, I'll tell you it's going to hit so hard that you are going to be injured. So you can either take 2 damage and an injury or find a way to get rid of all of the damage.
Bro.
The hat doesn't right. make the wizard. The wizard makes the hat.
I know, but the hat makes the wizard cool. So this is kind of tough. I will lose the hat the second popped collar. I mean, I think he has, like, just to be clear, I just want to be 100% clear. He has, like, the third hat under this, right? He has the hat that he was wearing the whole time.
Right, the hat that does absolutely nothing you've still got.
Yeah. But he does lose both of the, you know, hats of the pop collars that were on top of them.
Just to be clear, they would be popped brims, right? Like, that's what we're saying.
A hat collar.
Hey, Rizzard, you know how you and Frasis have matching hats?
I don't know that,
Well, wouldn't it be really cool if you also took matching crits? Because that's what just happened.
No, that wouldn't be cool.
What does that entail?
It means you took 3 damage and it's going to destroy one of your gear slots.
You get the same option as John. You can either take 2 damage plus an injury or you can give up the hat.
Why did that happen?
Because it crit.
What does that mean in this context?
It means that the Mushmen have an ability that on crits, you take an injury.
But why me? Give it to somebody else. Nah. I don't want it.
Yeah, but you have a hat.
It's because of the bong rips.
Give it to Rusk.
What?
Rusk is dead.
So? That's the that means he's perfect.
Don't say that.
Damage.
We can still save him.
Do I also like lose that gear slot?
If you get rid of the hat, you take no injury.
Hat's
this
gone.
Feels like a great time to announce that I did close the tab that had the napalm quotes, but they did actually have sources, and I did check, and they were real quotes, which is even
Don't
more
care.
Horrifying.
Don't care.
Hey, Evermere, I don't want you to feel left out, so you also take a damage.
Is it also a crit?
No, it is not.
No, it's just...
Okay.
I'm just going to get rid of my cold iron bastard sword. Actually, I lied. I'm going to take care... No, I am. I'm going to get rid of that. That's dumb. I'll keep the canister of oil.
There's still 4 of these guys left. One of them is covered in napalm, and the other 3 are fresh as daisies. Belladonna,
Eat
you're
that
up.
Shit.
Okay. So, I don't think I have anything I can douse them in. I think the best thing I can do for the team is to energy glove. I'll start with the one that's been napalmed, and if I can get more, I will get more.
Go ahead and give me that fight roll.
Okay. Okay, 5-5-1-2-1-2.
I think you could, with that, you could finish off the one that had been napalmed and you can strike a second one.
Yeah, I will do that.
Frostus, I'm going to skip you for a second.
Hate that.
Rizzard, you're up.
I desire to kill.
Yeah, tell me how you do it.
These guys still have the regeneration quality about them, or at least I perceive that to be true.
I think
if it's unclear, it's unclear. I'm not asking for like special knowledge.
I think you were distracted, and so you're not sure.
Okay. I am going to use my power sword plus 1d on crit because it gives me I roll 6d's.
Yeah.
A 5, a 5, a 6. A 4, a 2, and a 2.
And what are you attacking with again?
My power sword. This is sword of power.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And does it have any special...
I roll an extra 1d on crit. So I critted... A 6 is a crit. I critted once.
You critted twice on there. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. I'm looking at Ramos' rolls. My apologies.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I critted twice.
No, you critted once. Okay, go ahead.
All right. That's a 3.
Okay, and tell me, does that have any special damage?
No.
Then I think with that, you hit 1, 2, 3.
That's what I'm fucking talking about. Let's fucking go.
All right. So there's one that had already taken a hit over here. You could finish that one off clean and take out another one.
Yep. That's what I want to do.
Good job. You did it.
Yeah.
So I think at that, you hear cheering behind you. But
oh my God, this guy.
Wizard, this time around, it's not just Riff Gallows cheering you on. Oh. Joining him on the couch are Calypso and Pyron.
No.
And
of course,
while only you and Ebremir can see Riff Gallows, Belladonna and Fraustus can see Calypso and Pyron just sitting in midair with their arm around something invisible, looking like they're eating a snack, which in this case is the popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
And Francis, I think the thing that sticks out to you as odd is you all just took care of Belladonna very easily, and yeah. Calypso and Pyron seem happy about it, or at the very least, relaxed.
Mm. Don't like that.
I'm going to go back to Frostus, who I skipped previously. Frostus, you're up, buddy. There's one Mushman left standing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll hit him with the napalm. I don't think I'm going to be effective against some gods on the couch, so I'm a little scared about that for now. But let me start with the more direct threat here.
I mean, to you, they're just gods sitting, floating in midair.
Oh,
I don't know if that's more or less strange from your perspective.
Yeah.
I think he just notices it and is like, oh, God. And then just proceeds with the napalm, though. All right, 5, 3, 2.
Yeah, I think you get a hit on it. The thing is drenched, but it's still standing. Abramir, you're up, bud.
How many things are left?
Just the one, and it's drenched in napalm. Sorry, napalm.
I'm going to punch it in the face.
Go ahead and give me that fight roll.
And reroll this one. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6. So 2 crits.
Do you want to reroll your
I rerolled the one. Oh, let me roll the 2. Also a crit.
Oh, that's right, because you crit on 5s and 6s.
Nice. Exceptional.
I think you casually just like kind of flick it, and I think you hit a sore spot over here, because not only does it like die, it also gets knocked back 5 feet. And Evermir, you can see that they're just like chatting amongst themselves on the couch behind you. Pyron and Calypso seem to be whispering excitedly to Riff.
We cleanse the spores from ourselves, right?
You and Rizzard are still under the effect of the spores. Only Belladonna is clear.
Chock full of spores.
We gotta figure out how to cleanse ourselves.
Do we?
And
well, the thing, remember how I asked what was said? What was said was, the spores only speak to those marked for death. If you let them live, you will serve them. You already do. One of them will call the forest to war and the trees will obey. And then there's 2 other lines. But if we still got spores in us, that feels like we're about to get mind controlled.
Fair.
And unfortunately, my build is brilliant.
Yeah. So I think what's really striking to you all in this case, Rizzard, you're bracing for it. Belladonna and Frostus, I think you are too, because Frostus, while you got some of them with the napalm, at least 4 of them never got hit by the stuff.
Mm.
But those 4 aren't regenerating. Belladonna, give me a think roll.
Oh, okay. 3, 2, 3. Should I use one of my 2 remaining iron?
With a 3, I think you begin to charge where the Mushman fell, and then remember that your own magic only works while you're around to keep it active.
Hmm. And Fabelladonna is gone?
And Fabelladonna is just laying there.
Mm-hmm.
Light her on fire.
And I think you notice that Fabelladonna's shape starts to change. She gets broader around the shoulders, shrinks about 4 inches in height, and has a more muscular frame overall.
Hmm.
Oompa Loompa.
But the last 2 times that you all finished one of y'all's fate, the room started to go white and you were transported back into the Hall of Mirrors. The room you're in is quiet except for the sound of chattering between Pyron and Calypso, and for Rizzard and Nevermere, they can also hear Riff Gala's getting in on this. And you just hear Eclipse say, oh, I can't wait for them to see it. We worked so hard on this one. And then Pyron enthusiastically, yeah, it was totally worth it. Totally worth it. And these are things that you all hear, so you can feel free to react.
I thought you guys were arguing. Are you, like, doing it again? Or, like, what's your deal?
We never stopped doing it. We just wanted more variety.
Understandable.
I just really hate when other people make their relationship my problem. You know, I think Belladonna says, like, mostly to herself.
Excuse me. You made our relationship our problem. We had a thing that was working for us, and then you got in the way of that.
Okay, but the Shadow Speaker was about to destroy all life on Earth. And you guys were just kind of sitting there doing nothing. Nothing.
Except each other.
Yeah, right. All the prayers in the world. You couldn't be bothered. You're literally gods. Did you not care that all of us were going to die? I'm so sick of you guys. You're so irritating.
Mortals, do you think this is the first or the last time that there's going to be a Shadow Speaker or whatever unoriginal name you all come up with that's going to threaten humankind?
I mean, we didn't come up with it, to be clear.
Yeah, not our fault.
No, I mean you collectively.
Yes, I'm not Ebermere. Part of them.
Yeah, I don't want to be lumped in with them.
Ebermere is raising his hand.
I said, yes, Ebermere.
If things recur in cycles like this, doesn't that sort of mean that there's always a group of people who come and stop it from happening, allowing it to continue happening?
He's just going to keep going.
I mean, that means that you kind of need us to end the Shadow Speaker's life and save everything in order for it all to continue. I mean, I get you not ending it, but why are you pissed at us for ending it since you seem to need someone to end it?
Yeah, good point.
As someone who frankly dabbles in the infinite more than most mortals, I will say that you are fundamentally misunderstanding the way that infinities work.
Fundamentally.
If we were able to stop all of creation suddenly, you wouldn't be able to continue in your cycle.
Yeah, stopping it.
I mean, certainly you've encountered people like us before. Did you hate all of them also? And if you did hate them, did you go about creating odd scenarios to have them forced into terrible fates over and over again? And
is this stochastic or what?
I think at this point, Calypso can barely contain her laughter. And she says, I didn't need you to end this. I didn't need anyone to end this. I just needed it to end. But you chose to end it in the way that interfered with our relationship. And so not only does it continue, but you've pissed off a few gods in the process. So, tough shit. But, hey, Pyron, this is taking a little while, don't you think?
Yeah, I think he had to take the long way, since he's not really part of this whole deal.
Oh, and at that, you hear a ding.
It better not be fucking Kevin.
Before you can process that ding, Evermere, your dormant necklace starts to glow again. And behind Cabbage and Kale at the top of the Root Heart chamber, an elevator rises from, I guess, the floor of the roots. It opens. And Kevin, or the incarnation of him that took over Tickle's body, comes out and says, sorry, I'm late.
Remind me what Tickles
is. Had to take the long way. Haley, remind me, which wretch or which familiar was Tickles?
Was it the miniature shield golem? Oh, no. No, it was the gnome homunculus.
That's right.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah, Tickles was the gnome homunculus clockwork dungeon wretch.
That was originally Faustus's, and then that was resurrected by me, and then also lost
so
by me.
So Kevin's in the shape of a gnome.
Yeah, but he's started to grow, and the gnome features what was a beard on the gnome are just now replaced by tentacles, but the same glowing green eyes are there. And he says, so anyway, I know I can tap into the infinite lexicon, so time's sort of just more of a novelty to me than anything else, but I'd like to get this show on the road. Belladonna, that's Chad. He impersonated you the last time in reality, and you've just killed him because he wanted to play both sides of this, because he wanted the Conclave to be on the hook for killing kids, so it was going to be really bad press. But then if you failed, then you were going to be the people that released children that could control psychic spores and take over the world out into the wilderness. But the good news is that in your reality, their powers lay dormant because it turns out they need an enormous amount of magic, and these kids possess none of the talent for that. So yeah, good job. You killed your boss.
Wait, what? I never even got to leg wrestle him. This is bullshit.
Technically, he was not my boss. He was a business partner, actually.
Yeah. Rizzard, it's okay. You did leg wrestle him in the real world.
Did I win? I mean, no, of course I won. Look at this. And he, lifts his pant leg and he flexes and says, Scarlet Spiral, never skipping leg day. Yep.
And Kevin.
It's true. Yes.
like cups his mouth and whispers to all of you, and you can all very clearly hear it. They never leg wrestled. It's fine.
Every single rune around me has transformed into just a middle finger, like floating in the air, pointed at Kevin.
But you know what does have an enormous amount of magic and can absolutely tap into the psychic spores that can control every living thing on the planet? Me. And he puts a hand on both of the children, and slugs start to come out from his sleeves.
Ew.
And they've been sleeping the whole time, but their eyes open and start to turn green.
Oh, dude, do we have to kill a bunch of kids?
And he says, Calypso, Pyron, I know you want me to take care of this, and I still can, but it would be very nice if you made this ability of mine to traverse across fates a little more permanent. And I think Calypso looks over, nods, and says, yeah, that sounds right. I think it's worth the price. 100 years of not being able to incarnate on this plane? I hate it here anyway. And she looks over at Pyron, and they both just nod and start to fade away. And Kevin says, now that I'm permanent, do you know what the interesting thing is about being able to tap into the infinite lexicon? I'm one of the infinities now.
What does that even mean? They're just making this shit up.
Well, don't worry about that. I'll see you later. And he walks back into the elevator with Cabbage and Kale behind him. The elevator doors close, and you're left in the room with only Riff Gallows.
Frostus, I have to fucking kill Kevin. I fucking hate Kevin.
That was very clear to me, yes.
How did you do it? How did you get your magic back when we were fighting those guys? I have to kill Kevin. I have to kill Kevin, Frostus. That guy sucks.
Sucks.
And I think you just hear a little chance of fuck Kevin, fuck Kevin, fuck, and it's all over.
I feel so bad for Kevin.
From who? Who's chanting?
It's all the runes.
The runes talk?
So I think if that's what you say, I think that Faustus says,
well, you see, it's very complicated. Your magic, admittedly more technically granted in the arcane world of texts and number. Damn it.
And I think he kind of just pulls down his sleeve of his cloak, and you see the rocket launcher for the fireworks attached to his wrist.
Oh, shit.
I'm confused. That was Mo. That was a mix of Mo and Ebramir.
Frostus, was it ever magic?
Not in the traditional sense, no.
I'm still confused.
Wait, are we doing our coming out? Because I've been a warlock this whole time.
Oh. Well, that was obvious.
I for what it's worth, the runes are now, they went from being like signs that said fuck Kevin to question marks. Wait, what? I don't understand what's going on.
I mean, so Frostus is kind of outing himself as a charlatan, and I was inspired because I too am a charlatan. So I, I Spartacus'd, and I said my truth.
Now it's your turn.
I think that's an improper use of the concept of Spartacusing. I am a chronomancer. I'm an incredibly accomplished chronomancer.
No. This is a safe space, Ebermere. You can just explain the truth to us.
You have watched me fold realities.
So I am incredibly talented at plant magic. Yep. Did I do it right?
That was slightly better Spartacusing than I think Rizzard Spartacusing was. Stop for a second. Are you telling me that you don't have any magic? And I'm pointing at Frostus. And that you've just been like a guy fighting with us this whole time.
I think I'm a very talented guy, as you've seen, but yes.
Frostus, what the fuck?
That's kind of awesome, man.
How did you breathe underwater when we went to that temple?
Oh, well, yeah, I noticed that his spell seems kind of weak, so I just cast one for him. He just seemed a little frail.
That was
older.
One that was helpful. I normally have something up my sleeve, but breathing water was incredibly difficult to develop on short notice.
And when you teleported us up the mountain so that we could engage with the sky people?
No, that was a rope.
I don't... Faustus, you can't be serious.
I mean, that's so impressive, though.
Wait, everyone. Where'd you learn to drink like that if you're not using magic, man? Like, physically, where does all the alcohol go? I really gotta know.
Well, you see, I did grow up in the Sunstone Shores, and I think that's all that needs to be said.
Yikes. Dude, never mind. It makes sense that you can traverse the plains without magic.
So when you said that you killed that grave hydra with your bare hands, you really killed it with your bare hands.
Might have ripped the hands off a bear, killed the hydra with them.
I mean, I did use other resources at my disposal, but yes.
Okay.
I have this shotgun staff, you see.
Yeah.
And currently a napalm gun, but that I acquired
crazy
later.
Crazy handy. Great steal with that one.
I'm going to turn to Rizzard. And you?
Hey.
Who's your pact with?
I mean, come on, man. Who's my pact with? Come on, man.
Rizzard, this is a toxic relationship. You can't be more invested in it than we... What about your son? Look at Rizzoli.
I thought we covered this in therapy, honestly.
Yeah, so did we. What is your question about Rizzoli? What are you saying about my son?
I'm your son. Your son needs a proper example for his life. You can't be in a committed, toxic relationship with your patron. There's a clear power imbalance.
It's like you've never seen a patron warlock relationship before.
That's
fair. Kind of the whole thing.
It's almost a necessity.
I just don't know if we should be kink shaming Rizzard and Greg.
Have all the kinky sex you want. I'm here for it. But you're better than that. You deserve more than whatever she's given you.
I mean, she's given like super high range spells. I don't think you get it.
They are pretty potent.
Yeah, they're amazing.
I think at that, Rizzard and Evermere, you hear what sounds like someone blowing their nose, and you can see on the floating couch behind you, Riff Gallows has a handkerchief now, and he's got it drawn up to his helmet. He's like, this is so touching. I love that this is the way that you all go out.
Who said anything about going out?
You can't hear him anymore, Belladonna.
Fuck.
Well, if we have to kill Kevin and you're not really wizards, Rizzard, can you get more magic from Greg?
Hey, if that was a possibility, I promise you I would have done that a long time.
And I, unfortunately, am pretty much out of fireworks. I think I have one left. Mm-hmm. I mean, magic missiles.
We fought through the rest of this without magic. I mean, Frausis has done everything without magic. Yeah. I don't know. I think we could do this.
Yeah.
I think we can too, and I think that one day, Abramir, when you're ready, you'll be able to admit your own shortcomings to us as well, too.
Yeah, this is a safe space, bud, whenever you're ready.
Safe space.
Safe space?
I point to the runes floating around me for a second, and it's like,
That is very cool.
Neat trick.
Hey, how can you do that if you don't have any magic left?
The enchantment that holds them up is in stasis at this point.
Sure.
Well, only one way forward now.
And as you say that, Frostus, you're in a sealed room, so there's no wind, but if there was, maybe a tumbleweed would pass by. This room is not changing. And Evermere and Rizzard, you can see Riff Gallows reach between the seat cushions, and he pulls out a slice of pizza, and you're not sure how it's possible, but the cheese is melted and oozing, and he, again, puts it up to his helmet and just takes a bite. He's like, Yeah, forward. Seems like you're pretty stuck.
Yeah, what do we do now?
Die, mostly.
Trying to prevent that. Any other options?
I mean, I could tell you how to get out of here, but frankly, I don't know why I'd want to see that more than I'd want to see you die.
Tough options there. I see. I think there's compelling reasons on both sides of those. Coworkers / chosen family? Any pro, not us dying, you know, factoids or support we want to throw out there for my guy over here?
And you point out to Belladonna and Frasis, you're pointing at empty space.
Yeah, I think Belladonna says, I mean, just to be clear, I cannot hear the other side of this conversation, but yeah. I'm with you. I support you. I hear you. I see you. And I'm safe space. And I'm just glad that this is a chosen family. Yay.
Yeah. So any of that eternal friendship, that looking good to you on our survival.
I will also add that the things that we did here were, I think, pretty badass. Must have looked cool.
Yeah, and we're also very cool. Cool on top of being caring, caring and cool. Any of that compelling for you, my guy? You're just going to sit there and eat a pizza on a couch while we die?
Unless you can suggest to me how you're going to unbetray me. I just don't see how whatever you're suggesting is preferable to me watching you die, even slowly in this room, as the world outside gets taken over by Kevin and whatever he is.
Riff, you've watched me bend time, fold it like a napkin, and remake moments over and over again. We will unbetray you if you help us.
I don't think you even know how to undo what you've done.
I don't even know what we did.
But we'll undo it if you tell us.
All right. You might know, Ebramir, that there is no god of dreams. A couple of deities attempted to take the mantle and succumb to the power. And so all of that power, that residual energy to control and contort dreams, was put into an item that you call the Aegis. But it doesn't just draw dreams into it and create the wretches, the denizens of this tower that you know. It also keeps it contained within this tower. There's a reason why it can only appear once every so often. It was meant to be hidden. Generally speaking, a mortal, like us, accesses the tower, encounters their wretch, their dream immediately comes true. Pretty cool, pretty sweet. Unless your dream is something terrible, like the Shadow Speaker, who wanted total world conquest and encountered her wretch, overcame her fate by dying and coming back, and then managed to contort the Aegis in order to create the ultimate defense for an army that could conquer the world. That's some sociopath shit. That was literally her first dream as a child. She held on to it basically until adulthood and until you all killed her.
Yikes.
She also chose a name like Shadow Speaker, so frankly, are we surprised?
What I gave you was the blueprint to destroy the Aegis. And I told you, in the Gauntlet of Sound, one way of connecting my piece of the blueprint would save the world, and the other way would destroy it. The only way to destroy the Aegis was to blow it up. You're still here. You didn't destroy it. So I had to come and destroy the tower, which you and Pale Varnus decided to stop, or excuse me, not I, not me, the me that exists out there, the real me that's not the me that you're hallucinating right now, but you get the point. That me is out there trying to destroy this tower so what's in it cannot get out.
I have a question.
In the beginning.
Did we destroy the Aegis?
Apparently
he's
not.
He's saying no. What did we do? I mean, like, I, Mo, do not remember how it opened. I remember folding reality many times.
You threw a spear at it, and you think you destroyed it. I'll just tell you right now, he is asserting that because you are alive, it cannot be destroyed. You can take that as true or not.
Oh, wait a second. I got this. What evidence do you have, manifestation of a spore hallucination, that the Aegis is not destroyed?
You're still alive.
Why is my fate and my existence tied to the continued existence of the Aegis.
Did you even read the blueprint?
No.
Yes.
I gave you an explosive. It should have exploded. It would have wiped out anything within a kilometer of it. You're still here, not exploded, along with the tower, still intact. So you did not destroy the Aegis.
I have a question. Did he give us that?
Yes.
I think he did. I think he did. Why? But we didn't go with it. We found another way to destroy the Aegis, which
yeah,
was
the
spear.
Yeah, with the spear with rusks, like energy imbued
go
in
ahead,
it, right?
Go ahead and just give me a think roll.
Yeah.
Who?
Both of you.
Oh, let me actually roll one additional die. I did.
I don't think you need to.
I like those.
I figured it out.
Yep. So did I.
Evermere, you know that you intended to destroy the Aegis. You thought you were coming in with the weapon that was going to destroy it. But you know now, as a result of talking to the version of Riff Gallows that you encountered in the Gauntlet of Sound, that his portion of the blueprint could be altered and do something else. You're not sure what it would do, but all you know is that it did not destroy the Aegis. And somebody did that intentionally to the blueprint.
But the person who gave us the spear was our boy.
It was Rusk, and I think you can make whatever conclusions you want there.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.